everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to the very first Board of Public Works meeting of 2019. Hope everybody had an enjoyable holiday. I can tell you we're all very excited and ready to get back to work here in the new year. I want to begin by, first of all, congratulating all of our agencies on achieving a 69% reduction in the number of single bid contracts brought before this body over the last 4 years. We had in 2014, the previous Board of Public Works had 71 single bid contracts in there last year. In 2018, we got that number down to 22. So I don't know why we couldn't get to 70% instead of 69, but it's really a great deal of progress, and it took a concerted effort, and I want to thank our cabinet and their procurement teams and their staff. So thank you, and let's keep working to make these single bid contracts an even more rare occurrence. With that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues for opening remarks. Mr. Comptroller, happy New Year.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you for putting the spotlight on the procurement reform. It's not a particularly exciting issue for everybody, but it is for... but it is... I think we have to recognize that the agencies changed something and brought a lot fewer to us, and I really personally appreciate that because I think the public deserves two bids at least on a major expenditure of taxpayers' money just to prove that we're getting, in fact, a good deal. And so this is something that I think will affect the quality of the state's procurement process overall, and I agree with the governor that it wouldn't happen unless the secretaries were, to the extent possible, diligent. And so, thank you for having the complete snore of an issue started off 2019. I'm very appreciative of this board. My wife, Annie, and I, frankly, spent some time with our kids and our granddaughter, Vivian, in New York. And I got a chance, I'm not sure how everybody will interpret this, but I got a chance to recharge my batteries. Felt like I plugged myself in like my iPhone because I got some time, quality time with family. And
it's clean, renewable energy.
Yeah. Wind power. So let me just say how... nice it was for me, frankly, to unwind with family members and people that I know each of us have family that mean a lot to us. And I'm looking forward to another productive and collaborative year with the governor and the treasurer, frankly, and all levels of government. I'm going to adopt the governor's New Year's resolution. He always tells me, Peter, stop subtracting from your support. Just focus on the positive and adding to your support. So, yes, multiplying. That's the maxim for the new year. I'm not going to divide. I'm going to try to be, you know, supportive and collaborative and kind and gentle. And that'll last about 5 minutes probably. But I believe that this board is enormously productive. I know we as a state face numerous challenges in the upcoming year. It's my sincere hope that everybody cooperates on both sides of the aisle. But I can attest from my personal experience of more than 12 years on the Board of Public Works, the state is lucky that we have this in our Constitution, and I think it's a unique panel, frankly, in the country. It continues to be the honor of a lifetime to occupy my office, and over the recent year, over the next year, I and the 1,100 dedicated public servants of the Comptroller's Office remain committed to fulfilling our solemn promise to serve taxpayers, protect families, and conserve the taxpayers' hard-earned money. And I just want to end on another somewhat boring subject that the governor has blazed a new trail on and the treasurer is very supportive of also, which is the idea of respecting the taxpayers and responding to the taxpayers, getting results for the taxpayers, customer service. So, Governor, thank you for your leadership on this panel. Madam Treasurer, thank you for your tenure, because I hope it continues
for many more years.
And it's a pleasure to be here today with both of you. Thank you very
thank
much,
you. Madam Treasurer.
Governor,
yeah, 2019.
It's not to pile on, but happy 2019. It's always exciting to be at the beginning of a new project and a new year, and I welcome both you and the comptroller's goodwill as we work together. It is absolutely true that it's possible to disagree without being disagreeable, and sometimes a lot of fun. I too had a great time with children, and if you have a few hours, I have about 157,000 pictures that I would be happy to have. A brilliant 5-month-old child and 2 8-year-olds. I did have a question, though, of something that is not on the agenda, but I see our Secretary of Environment sitting here. First of all, I want to thank you for representing us, and thank you for sending him to represent us in Poland and speak up for the real interests of the citizens of the United States when people at the federal level were sort of off-key. There was a story about the Chincoteague ponies in the paper this weekend. Now, anyone alive who has children have probably heard about the ponies of Chincoteague. But they are succumbing to a virus, which is called swamp cancer. Apparently, not caused by, but facilitated by climate change, by the change in temperature, allowing certain viruses and other biota to grow where they hadn't grown before. And we are seeing here at our own shore, right next door in Virginia, our sort of southern version of the polar bear, I guess, as an icon of the impact of climate change. And I just wondered, Mr. Secretary, taking advantage of seeing you there, if you would like to reflect briefly on what we're seeing here in Maryland.
The first thing I want to do is say that DNR is most focused on the health of charismatic megafauna and flora. All I would say is that, as you know from the Climate Change Commission work that we do, science-based work, temperature changes in ocean and bay chemistry can sometimes facilitate the movement of viruses. So our fish and shellfish program is very much aware that there are risks that can be increased with changing climate, particularly warmer seas. But I can't speak to the swamp cancer.
But I think it's going to start bringing home to a lot of people the rather precarious situation that we're in.
Thank you. Secretary McDonald.
Good morning, Governor. Happy New Year. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, we have 9 items on the Secretary's agenda, 5 reports of emergency procurements. We are withdrawing item 8, which will come back at a future meeting.
Very good. Items 2 and 3 are significant updates on our procurement process, and I'd like our procurement advisor, Dave Nall, to explain those for us, if you could. Morning.
Morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Gabe Nall, and I'm the procurement advisor to the board. As you stated, there are 2 items before the board today to take action on procurement regulations. Item 2 is to take final action to adopt regulations that were proposed at the July 29th DPW meeting. Those regulations were published in the Maryland Register on September 28th, and we received 1 set of public comments in response to that Maryland Register publication. We have made a few non-substantive changes to the regulations in light of those comments that were received. With this action to approve these regulations, we are going to create a new chapter on master contracting and task orders, We're also codifying in regulation changes to the small procurement threshold as well as the small business reserve program. The other item, item three, is to propose new regulations, and these are in response primarily to legislation passed during the 2018 session. In addition, we are proposing regulations to update the MBE program, the Minority Business Enterprise Program. And what we are proposing are some changes that I think are going to be well received by procurement officers as well as vendors across the state. One change is going to allow for the curing or waiving of minor irregularities in bids or proposals, the affidavits or the MBE forms. If there's a minor irregularity on the MBE form or affidavit, procurement officers may waive or cure that so they no longer have to reject that bid or proposal as is currently required by regulations. And tying into your discussion on single bids or proposals, this has been a factor in why we have received so many single bids proposals in the past. We've had to reject numerous bids proposals because of the current MBE regulations. We are also going to allow for an implicit waiver request of the MBE goal if a bidder fails to achieve and commit to the full MBE goal. Currently, bidders are required to check a box on the MBE forms if requesting a waiver, a full or partial waiver of the MBE goal if they don't commit to the full percentage. However, a lot of bidders, they commit to a certain percentage amount, but they fail to check that box. And by failing to check that box, their bid or proposal is being rejected. So what we're stating is that if they fail to check that box, they will automatically get a waiver request, but they will still have to provide supporting documentation showing they made a good faith effort to meet the MBE goal. So the test is still the same. It's just there will be one less error for them to get rejected on.
Excellent. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
As I understand it, well, I'm not sure I understand it. These then go to AELR, number
yes.
three?
So this is our initial action today is just to propose them. Then they will go to AELR for review, and it will be published
hearing.
In the Maryland Register for comment, and then it will come back as a final action agenda item a few months down the road.
I think it makes good common sense. We've rejected a number of good bids because they didn't check the right box.
Right.
I was told that Carolyn Kotaki had a question about something in two. Is that something you've taken care of? Or?
This is our general counsel has actually been in discussion with the AG's office regarding some of those changes that we're deeming to be non-substantive changes. So I'd ask our general counsel, David Bohannon, to come up and speak to those.
Carolyn Kotaki being the deputy attorney general of the state.
That's correct. For the record, David Bohannon, counsel of the board. So Carolyn Petrucci is deputy at the Attorney General's office, and she is the AG assigned to work with the board when we have questions regarding regs and other matters. On the item number two, which is the final adoption item, there are four particular regs that in this final adoption we are proposing modifying some of the language to clarify it in response to the public comment that we received. In the conversations with Ms. Quatrocki and other members of the Attorney General's office, they agreed that those changes are non-substantive and the board can adopt them as final if it so chooses. However, they are recommending that the board would republish those for public comment just out of the public interest to receive additional comment. So.
And you're recommending that we don't? It's
up to the discretion of the board. Either way is fine. Certainly the way the agenda item is written is to adopt as final all of the changes.
Without public comment.
Correct. Additional public comment. They were already public for comment.
On the rewritten.
That's correct, yeah.
And the concern, I assume, is precedent.
I think that, yes, the Attorney General would have to. It is a board
right.
decision because you have both sets of attorneys saying that it is a non-substantive change, but the Attorney General is saying that there could be an extra chance for extra public comment, and that would be the
well, extra chance,
error.
Or there has been no public comment on the rewritten non-substantively
correct. That
rewritten
is correct.
Portion.
Right. So
correct.
That could be pulled out, and it's up to
which
the board
could in future years be seen as precedent for not republishing other ones that are in greater question than this.
Is that what the board feels the policy? Is that what I mean, the board? Yes. I mean, I don't. From my years of looking at them, and the 25 years
right.
signing off on procurement regulations for the first 6 years,
these
before 20
them.
Years, this would be something that would go through. But I can understand that the board, that's why we presented it, that you could definitely have a chance for it. I in my heart, just personally don't believe it would become a precedent for something 3 years from now. But I certainly understand that the Attorney General is advising for The fullness of the record.
Just the opposite could occur. Could create a precedent for every non-substantive little change would have to go.
And Mr. Bohannon did. I mean, he worked with the Attorney General's office. And he
would
did
slow
look
down the entire process
through.
Of government.
Right. So, I mean, the statutory requirement is that any substantive change has to be republished. So, right. So the real question is it a substantive change or not a substantive change? In this case, you know, we've agreed that these are non-substantive changes. I mean, just to be clear and specific, what we're talking about, the way these particular four regs, these are changes to certain mandatory terms and conditions, and we originally were proposing updating a dollar value in response to legislation. Public comment came back and basically pointed out that the way that the actual text of those mandatory terms and conditions were written was not clear and wrong in at least one of those regs, and upon review, we agreed that it did not reflect the statute. So what we're proposing now is to actually clarify that language to make sure that everything does comply with what the statute requires, and that's what it is. So
it seems quite reasonable as long as somebody who is here a few years from now remembers this discussion.
Well, I hope all my staff is here for years. Mr. Bohannon will be in my office for decades.
You'll remember,
Congressman. I will remember, and certainly it's. This is being recorded for the transcript and the record.
So. For the record, I'm not planning on being here 5 years.
Not sure, though.
But somebody will be.
Yes, yeah. No, we will be. You
and you want them to be able to see in the record that there's a clear distinction between substantive and non-substantive. And if the question is raised, I assume that the properly conservative, prudent position would be something as substantive unless it's clearly not substantive as it is in this case.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I could, Governor, thank you for bringing the issue up because, I happen to be briefed on this also, and we wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing here in pushing this through today. And I think we are. Obviously, the increased transparency, accountability, and equity in our procurement system is substantive. And that's what's going to flow from this particular item. And I appreciate the Treasurer bringing up the concern. But as I stated back in July, the idea that a state agency has the ability to handpick a group of companies and give that exclusive group of companies and only that exclusive group of companies the opportunity to submit bids for certain contracts, that raised a lot of red flags for me, and to be even more blunt, has the potential to undermine what the board has sought to achieve over this desire for more competition. And these are the so-called task order contracts. I think it's crucially important that the state's constitutional fiscal officers have the opportunity to provide the oversight that Marylanders expect to take place in our procurement system. For example, looking at a recent procurement agency activity report from the Department of Information Technology, there were four task order awards exceeding $1 million from November 2017 to February 2018. One of them was a $30 million task order back in January. And during this time period, the department also approved a new contract with the CITUS Group, a Russian oligarch-linked firm to host our State Board of Elections data. These are obviously very significant awards, and none of them appeared before the board for review. I think our taxpayers and I as comptroller would certainly feel better knowing that they received the proper review that such important contracts deserve. So I appreciate the fact that we made a non-substantive change to bring it in line with, I believe, the legislature was the body that was concerned about this. But I'm also very, very pleased that hopefully we can move forward with a unanimous support for this change. Governor, thank you for you and the Treasurer support this amendment. I'm delighted to associate myself with the final approval. And would so move if I could, unless the Treasurer has other concerns. I appreciate the attention.
I have nothing else on that. I'd just like to point out maybe that's why the Thank you. No. I have no further questions on this item.
No further questions on that item. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Yeah, well, item six, which is Department of Environment, is a project that looks really interesting and really good, and I just wondered if you wanted to mention it. Governor, congratulations.
Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, this is a great start to the new year with a project. This is one of the largest, most technical projects in the 100-year history of WSFC, and it's a project of the Piscataway Bioenergy Project. And before you is a request to authorize $44 million in loans and also a $3 million grant through our energy water infrastructure program. Basically, what this amazing project does is it's going to help clean the biosolids, the residuals from the wastewater treatment plants in the WSSC service area, clean it to Class A biosolids category, which can then be beneficially reused, not dumped or burned, but beneficially reused as fertilizer on farms or sold in home garden centers. This project is going to include a combined heat and power facility. That's what the $3 million energy water infrastructure grant is for. And quite simply, what that does is it captures the heat from the methane and the carbon dioxide in cleaning the sewage sludge. It captures it to heat and energize the facility, which means less greenhouse gas emissions, methane and CO2. So it's a really important, a big step forward for WSSC and for the state and our efforts to protect the Chesapeake and combat climate change.
Interesting. I think I pointed out that I had the opportunity to visit Eastern Utilities a month or two ago on a much smaller scale, mm-hmm. and was thinking, wouldn't this be great if we could just ramp it up mm-hmm. and have this sort of process? And, in fact, looked at our agenda, and there it is. Thanks, Mr. Secretary and Governor. And probably should point out the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, chaired by Eloise Foster, is really making a great step forward.
It's very important work.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Secretary.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Good morning and Happy New Year, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Governor Hogan. For the record, my name is Joanne Throw. I'm Deputy Secretary. I am sitting in for Secretary Belton. I have one item on the agenda today, and I'm happy to take any questions you have.
Any questions on DNR? Motion?
Second.
3-0. Next, DBM.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, and Happy New Year. I'm David Brinkley, the Secretary of the Department of Budget and Management. We've brought six items for your consideration, and I have people here to address any concerns or questions you might have.
Any questions on DVM? Is there a motion?
Second.
3-0 on DVM. The university system has no agenda today, so we'll move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Mike Leahy, Secretary of the Department of Information Technology. Today, we have five items on your agenda, and we do have representatives available to answer any questions.
Any questions on information technology? Is there a motion? Second. 3-0. We're going to go right now into the Department of Transportation agenda.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Governor. For the record, my name is Jim Ports. I'm Deputy Secretary for Maryland Department of Transportation. Maryland Department of Transportation is presenting 12 items today. At this time, MDOT is withdrawing item 3AE, and we're ready to answer any questions you may have.
Questions on transportation? Motion.
Second.
3-0 on transportation. We're starting off the new year, right?
That's great.
Next is the Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Nelson Reichert, Deputy Secretary of Department of General Services. Happy New Year to you and your families. The department has 16 items and one supplemental item on our agenda. We are withdrawing items 3AE, 5M, and 14 CGL at this time. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions on DGS?
Item, Governor, thank you. Item 15.
Item 15.
Item 15.
So that's fine. Yeah, I don't need anybody here necessarily unless there's someone from Channel Marker here. Yeah, come on up, I guess, if you could.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
So, yes, good morning. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to praise your organization because I'm a big fan of what you do and how important it is to the citizens in your area. And I know this is for $250,000 for a roof replacement of your 30-year-old facility. But what I'm focused on is increasing the access to quality mental health services and the incredible work that you do on the Eastern Shore. I want to thank the governor and agency for providing Ms. Jackson,
thank you.
You with these resources. If I could just say, in my view, your organization promotes mental wellness and removes the stigma of mental illness through prevention programs, rehabilitation, and community services. I've had the opportunity to visit Channel Marker on a number of occasions over on the shore and learn about the great work that you do firsthand. And I can attest to the excellence of what you provide. You're on the front lines. I couldn't be more grateful to your dedicated staff for their commitment to providing clients with the best possible care. And I know Channel Marker has become something very important to Easton and the rest of the Midshore community. You've been in operation for 20 years, and you've obviously impacted the lives of countless adults and youth throughout the Eastern Shore. Very supportive of the project and appreciative that you're getting a small amount of support from the state.
We're very grateful, Treasurer Kopp, Governor Hogan, and Comptroller Franchot. Thank you for the support. And, again, you said it better than I can as far as Channel Marker. We're very grateful for the support that we've received from all of you. And this wellness center for our clients is really a remarkable place for people with significant mental illness to come and be supported and have their wellness and mental health support services. So thank you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful work that you did.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Can you give your name for the record? Right.
I'm sorry. My name is Debbie Jackson. I'm the executive director for Channel Marker Incorporated. And Rick George is our finance director.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 17, we completed a public hearing on this on December 19th. We had several witnesses testify. We had quite a lengthy public hearing. We received all the background materials. There was significant discussion. We for some reason, pulled that one out of the last meeting and did not take the vote. So that was withdrawn from the meeting 2 weeks ago, and there's a request to pull that from the agenda for a separate vote. I believe we're going to do that today. Is there a motion on item 17?
No.
Is there a second?
Second.
Item is not approved. 3-0.
Motion to disapprove.
Motion is to not approve.
Right. Okay.
3-0.
3-0. Thank you.
Are there any other questions on the DGS agenda?
Everybody understand what we just did? Yes.
Voting.
Yes.
Turn it down.
Yes. If I could, the governor mentioned that the lieutenant governor deferred this at our previous meeting. And I think the reason that that was done was because of the compelling testimony of people who came down and said that they don't think this is the right thing for the state of Maryland to do, that we were going to subject our state to all the environmental problems of this pipeline and get none of the economic benefits. And so this became a fairly big issue, and the legislature, 62, I think, members of the legislature sent a letter to the board suggesting that we not approve this
particular project, and I'm very comfortable doing that, and I personally appreciate the governor's leadership. He wasn't here.
Just for the record, we had a full 5-hour, 4-hour meeting that day, and I was already late for a different event. But I thought it was approved. I mean, I thought it was disapproved, 3-0. I didn't have any idea that it got deferred. I don't know why it was deferred. But the testimony was there. We were always going to have a 3-0 vote.
It
had nothing to do with any letter from the legislature, I can assure you that. But we want to thank everybody for coming out and testifying. And thank you for letting us know how you felt. And we're happy to finally take the vote today after this 2-week delay.
So well, I'll take the...
With that, that concludes the Board of Public Works. We take the...
Item 1 to 16 on DGS.
Okay, are there any questions on the other items? Is there a motion to approve the rest of the...
Yes, I would approve...
Second.
I move to approve that.
3-0 on the remainder of the agenda. That concludes the Board of Public Works.
Thank you.